I don't have a particular text. I have six or seven texts. And I'll bring a little message this morning entitled, Life is a Timeline. The more you study time, the more complicated time gets. I know why the theoretical physicists have a time with it. It's just... the concept is so mind-boggling. But anyway, time is something you and I have to deal with. Now, God didn't worry about time so much. But you and I have a time with it. And everything we do in our life is predicated on time. And I have looked and looked and looked, and there's simply no way known to man around it. And contrary to popular science fiction, there's no way through it. It's just time has got to be the hardest brick wall known to man to try and penetrate or circumvent. I just don't see it. But that's a subject for another day. You and I live our lives in time. We have a birth and a death. Our life, the time we have allotted for all practical purposes, starts with birth and ends with death. And it runs in a straight line, a straight progression, and there's just no way around it. There's no way to bend it. There's no way to twist it. There's no way to circumnavigate it. You're going to have to face life one step at a time, 1 minute, 1 hour, 1 day, 1 second, 1 year, and you can't get around it. There's no backing up. There's no do-overs. There's no second chance. Once time is gone, just gone. And it moves forward absolutely, to the best of my knowledge, unstoppable. And it has a set pace. You can't speed it up. You can't slow it down. It won't wait on you. It won't run ahead of you. Time will be right where time is supposed to be, irregardless. We hate anything that rigid. Our lives are far more flexible than that. Yet, we're born... we live a certain amount of time, and we die, and our time is spent. It's over. And what we do with it, how we handle it, how we live it, is entirely up to us. Contrary to popular bad theology, God doesn't make you do anything. What you do or do not do is entirely up to you. You are a creature of free will. You can do what God says, or you can laugh at God, shake your fist in His face, and turn and go your way. And you can go. And God Almighty will let you go. There may be hell to pay for it, but you can go. Now, so I want to talk to you about that for a few minutes, and the progression. Because it's fixed. If people are looking for things that are fixed, you know, we live in a world, we say we're awash, and people are losing direction, and they don't have purpose, and this, that, and the other. Buddy, here's something's fixed. You can anchor on time, because you ain't going to change it. Amen? The Bible said in Psalm 37, verse 25, I've been young, and now am old. That's a progression of time. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 11, said, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. That's a progression in time. There was a time when she was a young maiden and a young wife and fertile and had childbearing years, but now it has ceased to be after the manner of women. She's no longer of childbearing age. The biological clock has moved on and time has passed and she can't go back. In James chapter 4 and verse 14, the Bible said, "And what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away." That's a timeline. You've got this little space. This little tiny space. And that's all you've got. And we look at it and we say, "Oh, I've got my whole life before me." Your little space may be this big. It could be over with this afternoon. You don't know the end of your space. You can look back and retrospect and see the beginning of your space, but you cannot look forward and see the end of your space. The Bible said in Job chapter 32 and verse 6, "I am young, and ye are very old." I thought it was kind of rude myself. May have been true, but it wasn't polite. But this again shows the progression of time. He said, "I'm young. I got my life ahead of me, and you're not just old, you are very old." Time has recently begun for one and is about to end for the other. And the progression just goes on from generation to generation to generation, and it is absolutely unstoppable. Nobody's ever managed to slow it down one whit. In Psalm 71, verse 18, the Bible said, "Now also when I am old and gray-headed." You see, the march of time leaves its mark upon us. It changes us. There was a time when Sarah could bear children and now she cannot. There was a time when Job had bright, shiny black hair and now it is gray. What has happened? Time has marched on. And it's left its mark on Sarah. It's left its mark on Job. And it has left its mark on you. You haven't left much of a mark on time. But time is sure left its mark on you. In Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 4, the Bible said, "My flesh and my skin hath he made old." I thought, man, what an apropos verse. They ought to hang that over the door in every doctor's office where they're doing tummy tucks and butt tucks and that kind of stuff, you know. Wouldn't that be the coolest thing? Yeah. Hey, everything is falling down, everything's starting to sag, and they go back and try to pin it up and fix it up. But did you notice nobody ever restored the texture of the skin? So why is that? Because time has worn it out. And there ain't no fixing it. And I don't care how you lift your chest or tuck your bottom, the thickness of your skin and its susceptibility to bruising and tearing and bleeding has not been altered. So you'll be the only woman walking around with everything in its proper place with big red patches of blood. I'm just you got to be real, don't you? Proverbs chapter 17, verse 6 said, "Children's children are the crown of old men." Here's another timeline. Children's children are the crown of old men. That's children, grandchildren. Amen? I'm ready for some great-grandchildren. I got grandkids. So how does that happen? Because time marches on. They're born and time starts for them and time marches on. I was born November the 29th, 1966, and or 1944, that was a slip of the tongue. And And my timeline began, and I have marched down the road, accompanied by time, 1 second at a time, 1 day at a time, 1 year at a time, and now the wheel just spins. I can't even keep track anymore. I remember when I got married and we got paid every 2 weeks, and it seemed like it was from Christmas to Christmas to get from payday to payday. It was just the longest time. And when you got broke, it seemed like you were broke forever. Now every time you turn around, it's the first of the month. I mean, it seems like time has picked up speed, but it hasn't. It just marches on. I haven't. Now, here come my grandkids, my children behind us, and then their children behind them. And so there's this steady progression, and you see it in their faces, from the little infant and the toddler, to the teenager and the middle-aged person, to a senior citizens, to the old folks. And you just see it. We come on the scene. We pass our time, and we march off the scene. We have this little timeline that's given to us, and that's all we've got. Real question is, what are we going to do with it? What in heaven's name can we get done in it? Ecclesiastes chapter 10, or chapter 11, verse 10 said, "For childhood and youth are vanity." We think childhood and youth will last forever, and of course it doesn't, because why? Time marches on. Time stands still. Time waits for no man. It just keeps on going. But we think it's good, so we play it away, we flit it away, we make no preparation, we don't look down the road, and before we knew it, childhood and youth is gone, and it was a wasted period in our life. Just a vanity. Now, there's about 6 billion people on the planet today. Every one of them has his own timeline. We can mark its beginning, but for the most part, we have not yet marked its ending, though we will do that in the near future. We can mark your beginning. You can all give me a birth date. So far, most of the folks here this morning are still alive. So I want to talk to you for just a few minutes, and I'll try and be brief. I took way too long on the introduction. But I want to talk to you about this timeline of life. You ever hear anybody say, you know, well, they're in their babyhood, or they're in their childhood, or they're adolescents, they're young adults, or we refer to different periods in our life, different stages in our life, different time frames in our life, because by certain things that are characteristic of that time. I've got 8 of them here, and the reason I did 8 is because I have a note in the back of my Bible, back there where it says the end at Revelation 22. I've got a little note back there that says all players 1 octave up. Because there are 8 notes in the scale, and when you hit the 9th note, you're an octave up. Okay? And so when you hit that last stage in your life, you leave this fleshly body behind, it's 1 octave up. Okay? Anyway, so I have it marked off in 8 periods. And I thought I'd recount them just briefly for a minute. And I do this with reason. I mean, it's not spontaneous. I thought about it beforehand. Number one. And I'll just go through them. There's babyhood. That's from 0 to 2. We don't expect anything out of them because basically they're not capable of anything. We feed them, we clothe them, we clean them, we protect them, we nurse them, we do everything for them because they are essentially helpless little critters. We goo them and coo them and put Johnson baby powder on them and make them smell good, and mamas hold them and pass them around, and everybody wants to see the baby. And babyhood is just a couple of years of time in our timeline that I call it the period of oblivion, because the little fellas don't know anything, don't know where they're at or what's going on. They are semi-conscious in that they know when they're hungry, they know when they're hurt, they know when they're cold, they can sense discomfort, amen. But they're not into the reasoning, thinking, doing, performing part of life yet. And so it's kind of this is the age of oblivion for children. Then we have childhood. That's from 2 to 12 or 13. Childhood. And childhood is a great time. Now, it is greatly misused in the 21st century. Because we say, everybody says we want our children to enjoy their childhood. We don't want to make adults out of them too soon. I certainly agree with that sentiment. However, I don't think that that means not teaching them, not training, not requiring anything out of them. Okay? Because that childhood must be a preparation for the next stage. Every preceding stage should be a preparation for the next one in line. Amen. And so there has to be some discipline, there has to be some requirement, there has to be some performance in childhood. But far and large, it ought to be a happy time, it ought to be a carefree time, it ought to be a joyous time. Amen. It ought to be free from responsibilities, and the children don't need to know that mom and dad are having a hard time making ends meet. That's not their worry. You know, those kind of things. Don't burden them down as much as you can. Let them enjoy their childhood. Childhood is a time when they are unconscious. In childhood, the children are only aware of themselves. They're only aware of other people and other things insofar as it is necessary to get them what they want. Amen. Kids are just, watch me, look at me, I can do that, I know how to do that, I can do it. See? It's all about me. It's the single most self-centered part of human existence. Then we reach adolescence. This is the age of the walking dead here. This is when the hormones start to flow. Puberty occurs. We become aware of our body and our gender in a way that we've never been aware before. We have feelings and emotions that we've never experienced. And quite often, they're disturbing to us, and we don't know how to deal with them. And that's why you need mamas and daddies got enough sense to talk to their children about the things that disturb their children. Amen? Instead of putting sex and those kind of things off limit, learn the right words, learn the terminology, know what they mean, and be open and frank about it. Just be proper. And relieve those children of the anxiety and the fear that they sense because they have feelings and emotions they're not used to and they don't know how to handle. They need a strong mama and a daddy. Then we get through adolescence and we go into a time of adulthood. Now, adolescence goes from 12, 13 to 16, 18, and 18, 19, somewhere around there, we finally, at least legally, we become adults. Adulthood is the productive time in your life. What you're going to get accomplished, what you're going to get done, if you have made adequate preparation, gotten your education, this, that, and the other, when you get to be a real adult, you can begin to make a contribution to life. You begin to perform. You begin to fulfill goals. You set objectives. And adulthood is a time of work and labor and acquiring, learning, applying. It's the most industrious, the most productive time you will ever spend on the planet. It won't last forever. And some of you folks who are still working for a living, take heart. Time moves on. It just doesn't seem like it right now, but it really does. Then there's middle age, 40, 45 to 60. This is a time when we have real changes in our life, just like we did back here in adolescence where we go through puberty and all that stuff. We get over here in the late 40s, 50s, down in through there. We have made our money. We've advanced pretty much as far as we're going to go. You know, we started out as a laborer, and now we're a supervisor, or what, you know, we've done what we're going to do for the most part. Now we are looking at retirement and taking it easy and dealing with the empty nest. You know, the kids are gone, and now they're hopefully they're out of college, you know, unless you've got one who wants a doctorate or something. That's a never-ending thing. So, in this middle age thing, but that's also where we had this biological change, where we ladies cease to be after the manner of women. They go through the change of life, menopause. And boy, that can be a stressful time. Some ladies really have a tough time with it. Some of them start younger, earlier than others. Some start later. Some get through it rather rapidly. Some it goes on for, seems like an eternity. And there's all kind of chemical imbalances which do mood swings and hot flashes and temper tantrums and God only knows what all goes on there. And that's a tough time for most of us to get through. It's very difficult for the ladies. It's also very difficult for the men. We think they've suddenly become demon-possessed. Amen? I got a friend in Virginia. He really believes that all women are demon-possessed in their late 40s and early 50s. It's chemical. It's biological. I mean, it's just the way we're built. Because we are getting ready. We're setting the stage for the next event on our timeline. While women are having their menopause and hot flashes and taking estrogen and all that stuff, men also have a midlife crisis. For the first time, most men feel vulnerable. They've worked, they've labored, they've raised their children, they have some degree of success, whatever it is. Maybe, hopefully, some degree of preparation for old age. They've laid by some money. They're not going to starve to death. But now the kids are grown and mama's doing her thing. And we feel not useless, but not really needed either. Our hormones begin to change and our sex drive dries up and we suffer from low T. And for the first time in the life of most men, they're not as confident and self-willed as they once were. They begin to see their mortality. They begin to see their human frailty or weakness. And we don't deal with that well. And just like the way ladies have their problems with the menopause and they have their mood swings and their periods of depression and all that goes with it, men suffer just as badly, just in different ways. After all, we are different creatures. And so we have here in this little time slot insanity. Now, you know, here's an observation that I've made about the different stages of life. I think, and this is my observation, I think that for the most part, until we reach this stage, we're almost oblivious to what stage we're in. We are so busy living, going, doing, conquering, acquiring, advancing, whatever it is. We're so self-absorbed in ourselves, in our immediate family, in our careers, in our success, that we look back and we see, oh, the baby's in the terrible twos. The children are reaching puberty, but we're not real conscious of where we're at. And I think sometimes when we get to this stage, it kind of takes us by surprise, catches us off guard. And we're just not quite ready to handle it or deal with it because we're not aware that's our problem. Amen? So this late 40s to 60s thing is a... it's a terrible time slot in our timeline. Then we do survive that, by the way. Most of us get through it reasonably intact and reasonably sane, thank God. Then we hit what we call the golden years. This is the most marvelous age. All the hard work is behind. The children are all out of the house. Just me and Mama. Not punching a time clock anymore. Not trying to lay by in store for old age anymore. We are now reaping that which we sowed. This is the best, the sweetest part of life. I told Brother Lewis this morning, I did not realize until after I retired how ready to retire I was. I have worked since I was 12 years old. I pastored a church for over 30 years and worked a job and had a family. I didn't realize I wore out. I was tired. I was ready to quit. And Lord, as my witness, me and Mama have been trying to have the best time we could ever since. We are in them golden years, and they are golden. It's wonderful. You got this little span of time after you've met your duties, your obligations, your responsibilities, you've fulfilled your requirements, at least to the best of your ability, and whatever they are because they've passed now. And here you are with a little time left, and a little health left to enjoy life. I hope every person gets that opportunity. If Jesus doesn't come, hang in there, work hard, lay it away, stack it up, and when that day comes, don't hesitate. Embrace it, enjoy it, indulge in it, revel in it. Because it's very short. 60 to 70, 75, 80. It all depends on the health. The deciding factor on the length of these golden years is declining health. And the Lord may be good to you and bless you and give you good health for and a long period of time. But eventually, no matter what, it's going to come to an end. It's going to come to an end. Sooner or later, it's going to happen. And once those golden years are over, the next stage on your timeline is old age. I'm defining old age as the end of the golden years from whatever time that is, related to health and mental abilities, those kind of things, until death. That period is going to be old age. Those are, in my book, that's the second babyhood. And I called it the second babyhood because you are now back to somebody caring for you. You're back to somebody looking out for you. You don't come and go like you have for the last 50 years. You're back like that baby. Somebody's responsible for making sure you get fed. Somebody's responsible for making sure you get cleaned. Somebody's responsible for almost everything you do. The only advantage this time is you can argue with them. But old age comes, and as strength declines, as the mind unravels, the more and more baby-like we become, and more care we need from somebody else. Some people spend just a couple of years in old age. Some people spend 15, 20 years in what I consider old age. Incapable of doing for themselves. Dependent upon others. And then the last stage in life is death. Now, at birth, time begins. And at death, time ends. You say, well, time goes on. Not for you, it doesn't. You've just entered another world. It's called eternity. And there is no time in eternity. You have left off the flesh, and now it is soul and spirit, one way or another. The grave will claim that old body of yours, because time has worn it out. And you will lay down and you will die. I was young, and now I'm old. I was born, and I will die. I have 4 points about this introduction that I'm not going to get to. Here's a couple observations. I spent a good deal of time on that to show you that's the course of life in a general sense. And I just made broad categories and used general numbers. You know, because there are so many variables, only God Himself can keep up with all of it. But basically, that's the flow of life. Basically, that's the course of time for each of us. Our circumstances are different, you know, but that's how it's going to go. Here's three or four things you need to think about. Number one, we are usually halfway through life before we are made aware or become conscious of the stages of life. We're slow learners. Number two, seldom do we recognize our current stage and deal with it wisely. There's a lot of truth in that. Seldom do we realize what stage we're in for ourselves and deal with it wisely. We see it for everybody else. But we're so, I don't want to get old. I'm not going to get old. And I can still do what I've always done. I'm still the man I always was. I'm still as beautiful as I used to be. And you see the women trying to, we spend half our life in denial. You can't turn the clock back, you know. People say, well, I don't tell nobody my age. Why? We can see it on your face. What vanity? What stupidity? You can't fool anybody. Denial and pride are usually the culprits in why we can't face what section of life or what stage of life we're in. Then, I've observed that the process is irreversible, and short of premature death, is unstoppable. You're going to live till you die, and you're going to die. And barring any unforeseen tragedy or whatever, you're going to progress right along through middle age and the golden years to old age and death. You might as well be realistic about it. Might as well get your mind made up for it. And just like you've done for every other stage, if you were wise, you prepare for the last one. The most important time in your life to prepare for is not adulthood or middle age. It is not even the golden years. The most important time in your life to prepare for beforehand is death. It's only appointed unto a man once to die. You gotta have it right that one time. It is appointed unto a man once to die. Now, ladies and gentlemen, just as surely as you had a birthday, you're going to have a day of death. The rapture may come and we get around it. But other than that, you're going to die. See, preacher, that's so morbid. I'm not being morbid. It ought to be exciting. Now, I'm not wanting to rush into it. I'm not that far gone. I enjoy living. I want to stick around as long as I can be functional and helpful. I'll be honest, you know, skipping the old age part where my mind is gone and my body is deficient to the point that I'm a burden on somebody else, I'd skip that. But as long as I can think and reason and aggravate my wife, I'm perfectly content to stay. Somebody say amen. But that won't make anything change anything. It won't make it unavoidable. It's still coming. I used to have a bumper sticker, a yard sign. It said, be happy. You'll be dead soon. All your troubles really be behind you then. Now, you say, well, preacher, what is the point in this message? I don't know, man. I just wanted to do it. No. Here's the point. See them pretty little boys back there? Their timeline has begun. And before you know it, one of these days you'll be asking yourself, where'd it go? You'll be looking at them and they'll be looking at marriage or college or a career. Before you know it, they'll be old. And you'll be sitting back and say, oh, I remember first time they came to church. Why, they wasn't this big. I remember when Jordan came to church first time in Lewis's arm. Just a little baby. Well, toddler, I guess. Whatever. All the same difference. Little bitty youngin'. Man, she's cute as a mud fence back then. And she's cute as a mud fence now. Pretty little old girl turned into a pretty young woman. But we have sat here and watched her morph into adulthood. Where did it go? Time just relentlessly marched on. You can beat on its walls and bang on its door, but you cannot stop it. It will march on and on and on, and it will take you with it in your time slot. As far as I'm concerned, that leaves you with one option. Prepare to die. Life ought to be about preparation for death. Because at death, you lay down this body, you move up one octave, and eternity somewhere is before you. So the most important preparation that you will ever make is your preparation to die. To end the time of your life. And since we don't know when our timeline ends, the sooner we make that preparation, the better. Let's bow our head. Lord, we thank you this morning that you've given us a little time.